Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Each Thursday, since the stay-at-home orders began here in Illinois, we've been discussing a different aspect of mental health. And today we're going to talk about loneliness and who might be more susceptible to it. Maybe you identify as an introvert and enjoy spending time alone, or maybe you're an extrovert and feel energized being around others. Regardless, the pandemic has only made the problem of isolation worse for many people. And even before the pandemic, loneliness in the U.S. was a public health concern. A survey from January found that 61% of Americans are lonely. Here to talk about some of the physical and emotional effects that could have on our health is Louise Hockley. She's a senior research scientist at NORC at the University of Chicago, who researches loneliness and social isolation among older adults. We're also joined by Jennifer Konweiler, a champion of introverts. She's a public speaker and the author of several books on introversion, including Quiet Influence and her forthcoming book, Creating Introvert-Friendly Workspaces, How to Unleash Everyone's Talent and Performance. Welcome both of you to the 21st.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
And if you would like to join the conversation, maybe you're an introvert, maybe you're an extrovert, how are you coping right now? Give us a call at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. You can also always tweet us at 21st Show. Jennifer, I want to start with you. This pandemic has led many people to become introverts, whether they want to or not, with social events being canceled and many workplaces being remote. But I wonder if we could just start by laying out what is an introverted personality and what is an extroverted personality?
Sure, Brian. You know, people kind of say that in jest, if they're becoming introverted, or it's an introvert, really, we tend to be born with a certain personality type. And introverts get their energy from within. They need to recharge their batteries. They must recharge their batteries. After being with people all day, there's a misnomer or a thought that people have that introverts don't like people, and that's not true. Introverts like people a lot, it's just how much. Whereas extroverts get charged up by people. In fact, not having people deflates their energy.
But I gather that even among introverts, you still need some human connection, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. You know, introverts have so many strengths, like being calm and being able to have silence and prepare, all of the great, wonderful, quiet strengths. And in this kind of environment, those kind of strengths can really blossom.
Yeah, interesting. So I wonder, can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that introverts might be having right now?
Yeah, you know, anything, Brian, that's a strength, overuse of that can be a weakness, right? We can do too much of it. So in research that I did on quiet influencers, those people who make a difference through using those strengths I mentioned, like being humble and, you know, and listening to people and preparing their pitch, when they did too much of being in their heads, that wasn't always a great place to be, because they didn't have time to really or the opportunity to bounce off their thoughts with other people. And loneliness can happen. You know, people can get isolated. We all need each other. So too much of that is happening, particularly with people now who are living alone. You know, that could be something that we all can do, is to reach out to introverts who might tend to get even depressed in that situation.
And Louise, I want to ask you, I think even introverts might be feeling lonely right now, right? I mean, does that sound reasonable to you?
That sounds perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. Can you talk about some of the health effects of loneliness and isolation that people experience?
Sure. Actually, a good segue, because I was going to make the distinction between isolation and loneliness. So when we talk about it in research terms, being isolated is just the idea that one is alone. People can measure that in different ways. Some people equate it with living alone, but certainly a lot of people who live alone have a rich social life outside of the home, or you have little contact with people, even though you may be married and living with a partner. If you have very little other social access, that could leave you isolated. Loneliness, on the other hand, is the feeling of isolation that can befall anybody, introverts, extroverts, people married, people not married. It doesn't respect those kind of boundaries. It's a very subjective state. In both instances, though, whether it's social isolation or loneliness, there's a rich literature showing just a wide variety of adverse outcomes. You don't want to be socially isolated and lonely, at least not for long periods of time, because it takes a toll on physiology, you know, body processes that lead to cardiovascular disease, stroke, depression and anxiety, certainly on the mental health side. It affects sleep quality. So this is another issue, especially during the pandemic, where people's anxiety and loneliness and isolation all feed into disrupted sleep. Long-term, there are even effects on mortality. People die sooner if they're isolated than if they're not. If they're lonely, then they're not. So there's a lot that goes into the paths that lead to poor outcomes for both the socially isolated and lonely people.
And Louise, are there certain populations, I don't know, single people or maybe older people who are more susceptible right now because of the pandemic?
Well, this is all very rich research area because we don't know how this is playing out. We do know that there's an assumption that older adults are more vulnerable. I think that's arguable. There's certainly research I've done recently, even before the pandemic, there's nothing showing that older adults get lonelier with age, unless it's really into oldest old age, then loneliness starts creeping up. Mm-hmm. Loneliness is something that's in your head. You can deal with things. Now, whether the pandemic has limited people's capacity to cope with their isolation, and loneliness is a good thing normally because it signals you, get out, get connected, find a friend, talk to somebody. But if you can't act on that, then the risk may increase. That's where we're kind of in the not knowing stage right now with the pandemic, because some people are better copers than others. And certainly people who have a rich social network that they maintain technologically, let's say, or they're living with a good support family, they're going to have a resource that helps them cope a little better. So there are populations that one might have thought of as being high risk, but it remains to be seen whether they really are in this time.
And Louise, in the populations you've studied, do you think that whether or not somebody is having a more difficult time right now, struggling with loneliness, could be affected by whether they are somebody who's more introverted or extroverted?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And I don't know that I would be able to predict. I could go either way on that. I think introverts, by their nature, as Jennifer was mentioning, are thoughtful. They're processing this inside, and they may have a rich coping repertoire already in place. And this, they know how to deal with solitude. They may have sought it out. They may be okay with it. On the other hand, they maybe don't have as rich a network to draw from. So extracting what little contact they may have had may be, you know, just something that tips the balance and makes it even harder to cope.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. That was Louise Hockley. She's a senior research scientist at NORC at the University of Chicago. We're also speaking with Jennifer Konweiler, who is an author. Her books include Quiet Influence and the forthcoming Creating Introvert-Friendly Workspaces. Jennifer, I would like you to ask you about what Louise just said there. You know, much of Illinois is under a stay-at-home order until at least the end of the month. You know, introverts may have already, you know, developed some of these skills to sort of process the isolation, but you know, extroverts are now sort of being forced to be into that sort of introspective mode, especially if they live alone. Jennifer, do you have any suggestions as to how extroverts can embrace those introvert skills?
I love it. I love it. You know, Brian, this is really a spectrum, introversion and extroversion. So what I'm hearing from my extroverted colleagues and friends and family members is that they're actually surprised that they're coping sometimes as well as they are. Of course, if the other variables are in play and they still have a job and, you know, and things are relatively in the new normal. So what happens, I think, with all of us is that we learn to tap into that other side, just like introverts when they're in the active workplace, which is a very type A world, typically, they have to learn extroverted type behaviors, you know, being out there and socializing. Well, extroverts don't oftentimes have to do that. You know, it's not something that they're forced into. And the quarantine has really allowed people to, in many ways, tap into that inner life. And they're actually kind of liking it. You know, they're doing yoga on video and they're taking quiet walks and they're listening to music. And for a number of people, it's a chance for them to get back into what gave them joy that they did alone or they did just with a few people. So I'm really encouraged that. I think the other thing I'm very excited about is I think extroverts are having more empathy for what introverts experience.
As a reminder, it does. You're listening to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Jennifer Konweiler and Louise Hockley about the sort of introvert, extrovert spectrum and loneliness during the pandemic. Reminder, you can always join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. The number is 800-222-9455. Right now, we have Mason calling in from Jacksonville. Mason, welcome to the 21st.
Hello.
So I understand you're an extrovert and an essential worker, but your wife is an introvert. Can you talk about that dynamic?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm an extrovert and an essential worker. So it's still business as usual for me. But like for the weekends, and I'm not saying every weekend, but it's still taking a beating. An introvert, she's not an essential worker, so she's just trapped inside the walls day after day after day after day. As her mom's a teacher, so a lot of times she'll go over to her mom's house and just hang out, just to break the monotony. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as an extrovert, for me it's a little tougher, obviously. I've delved into my hobbies quite a bit more. I'm a musician. I collect comics, so I've done that. My brother-in-law plays instruments, so occasionally he and I'll get together and just kind of play just for something.
Sure.
Social media is nice, but yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, Mason, thank you so much for giving us a call on the 21st. Stay safe out there. Jennifer, I want to ask you about that. So, I mean, what we heard there is that introverts may realize, you know, I think we heard about an introvert who may be struggling with this isolation.
I think that he may be trying to figure out how to help her too, right? And so
right.
One of the phenomenons is that people are walking more, Brian, right? So even just get exercise, we know, helps physically and emotionally. So just encouraging her to take a walk, walking with her, and just encouraging her to do what he's kind of doing now, which is tapping into what he enjoys, his pursuits. Extroverts tend to have a lot of different things they like to do. So it sounds like he does. But really introverts go deeper. So I'm sure there are some things that she could get into that she enjoys and really pursue those, you know, and so he could encourage her to do that and also to connect with other people other than just her mom.
Yeah. You know, I'm in this interesting situation myself because I consider myself an introvert, but weirdly I feel like I have more time to sort of be alone with my thoughts I'm fortunate. I can do this job from home. I'm hosting this radio show from home. My wife is also working from home right now, although she's an essential worker who sometimes does go into her office, but the kids are home. I have less alone time now than I think I did before. I mean, it's just an interesting sort of how we're all being flipped around in different ways.
Yeah, but you need to make that space as an introvert. And it is challenging working at home with having family responsibilities. Yeah. So it's like having that kind of gentle schedule, I've heard it phrased, you know, where you make time for yourself is going to be critical.
Okay. Louise, I this is kind of a big question for you, but I wonder, how do you balance the need to be physically distant, to protect public health through distance, with the separate but important public health problem of loneliness?
Right. Now, it's a big question. It's a big issue. And I've seen some people try to address this in the media context. It may be, and I say this with sort of bated breath, but it may be that there is a trade-off that will have to be made by some people where, let's say, grandma's living alone and she doesn't have technological access or facility, doesn't have transportation. Do you leave her on her own with some phone calls, or do you find a way to be appropriately socially distant? Can you at least see her 6 feet away? I mean, those kinds of decisions that are probably made on a very individual, idiosyncratic way, but I think are going to be critical for people who have limited options. And I think there are considerable segments of the population where social isolation was a problem long before the pandemic. So to aggravate that under current circumstances is going to take some thoughtful responses.
And we've only got a couple of minutes left in our conversation, but briefly, Louise, are there any strategies that you can suggest to help people cope with loneliness, if we're feeling that or our family members are feeling it?
Yeah, I think we've covered some of them in a way. Things like going outside, just being outside, not within the four walls. Unfortunately, we're getting into a season where we can do that. We have neighbors. We have met neighbors, you know, personally. We have walked through the neighborhood and met neighbors we've never seen before because everybody is working and then coming home into the garage and you never see them again. So anything like that has got to be helpful. Technology has a role. I wouldn't belittle the value of the old-fashioned phone. People tend to like that in some cases better than they do the video conferencing.
Sure. Yeah, I've rediscovered that myself in some ways. And Jennifer, last question to you, only about 30 seconds here. But
I was laughing because I heard a great tip yesterday, Brian.
Go ahead.
About you can be with people, but you don't necessarily have to be staring in the screen because that's so exhausting, right? So you can do a dance class together, or you can be cooking and just talking to them like you would normally. And I thought that was brilliant. You know what I mean? Using technology, like you're saying, in a positive way.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously on a call-in show, we love the phone. So Jennifer Konweiler is an author. Her books include Quiet Influence and the forthcoming Creating Introvert-Friendly Workspaces, How to Unleash Everyone's Talent and Performance. We've also been talking with Louise Hockley, a senior research scientist at NORC at the University of Chicago. Jennifer and Louise, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
It's been my pleasure.
Coming up, the Islamic holy month of Ramadan is coming to an end this weekend. We'll be speaking about how marking that with the Eid festival will be different this year because of the pandemic. More to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.